of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. A Ugandan heavyweight is hoping to compete at next year's Tokyo Olympics, as we hear now from Magume Davis Rakowinj in Kampala.
Uganda boxer Alex Bambale says he enjoyed fighting at the African Boxing Championship in Dakar, Senegal earlier this year, despite not being able to qualify. Bambale says he now trains daily and believes he now has all it takes to make it the Tokyo Olympics.
I've now learned from my mistakes, and I know what to do, and I know what to come with next time. I'm still here in Sweden working on my strengths and the power. And yeah, I'm getting stronger, slowly. And yeah, I can always become better. Yeah, I never lose, I just learn. I just learn or I win, nothing else.
The Swedish-based heavyweight boxer Bambale was eliminated at the quarterfinals, but says he's now more energized despite the lockdown.
The only thing I have to do is to focus and to train, morning and evening, day in, day out, just training. So I know that that place belongs to me because I have what it takes, and I'll do everything I can do to make it possible for me to represent Uganda.
The Global Olympics qualifiers in France was supposed to take place this year, but was postponed to May next year due to the coronavirus pandemic. For about 2 decades, Uganda has had at least 5 boxers represent the country at the World Olympics. Prince Adil Musa Boji, the Ugandan Bombers, the national boxing team captain, who is so far the lone boxer to qualify this time around, says he has high hopes in Bambale.
On my side, I think Bambale is a good and great player. He's a good boxer comparing to others. First of all, he's used to all facilities. If he settles and try to work out everything and all mistakes that he's having, he will qualify for Olympics and he will become an Olympian too, because on my side, I feel great when I'm with him.
Bambale's trainer, Walt Woltanian, agrees.
Alex is a very, very strong outside boxer. He stays behind his jab. He has a very strong jab and very good feet. He can fight on the inside too, but his strongest attribute is outside boxing. And as long as he keeps moving his feet and stays behind his jab, he can be a big problem for anybody at that level.
Though 23 years old, Woltanian says Bambale has gained much experience fighting at high levels, including representing Sweden at the European Boxing Championship, where he won gold. Bambale says he's inspired by fellow countrymen, boxers Sherif Bogere and Justin Juko, who punched their way not only to the Olympics, but the world stardom as well.
I know that I have what it qualifies, because I've been training since I was a child. I have a talent. I'm working very hard on my talent. And I know I'm good, and I've always been dreaming of making it to the Olympics, especially for my country, Uganda. So, yeah, with prayers and hard work, I know I will make it. So, yeah, no doubt, just enter the ring and do what I do best, yeah.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Alex Bambale, Swedish-based boxer and a Nordic heavyweight champion, Swedish champion. And I represent Uganda Bombers. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
A Somali refugee boxer is also dreaming of making it to the Olympics. VOA's Jim Stevenson reports.
A
Ali is back in the ring. Not Muhammad Ali, Somali refugee boxer Ramla Ali.
And yes, my dream has always been to go to Tokyo, go to the Olympics. And, you know, if it happens, I would definitely book my ticket to the Olympics next year.
Ali has turned professional in a quest to become the country's first world champion and inspire a new generation of Muslim women to challenge stereotypes by taking up the sport.
I feel like amateur boxing has come to such a standstill that, you know, if I didn't turn pro now, I wouldn't get the opportunity to compete until, you know, next year. And I just love, as weird as this sounds, but I just love competing and I just love fighting. And I feel like I'll get the opportunity to compete sooner if I turn pro.
The UK-based 31-year-old Ali was aiming to be the first Somali boxer to go to an Olympics, but the delay to the Tokyo 2020 games, caused by the coronavirus outbreak, allowed her to recently sign a promotional deal with Eddie Hearn's Matchroom Sport. She hopes she can land a change-up, changing people's image of her Somali homeland.
Somali is just known for, like, horrible things, piracy, famine, war. So to give Somali the opportunity to be known for something other than that, I feel like is obviously amazing, and I feel like they'll be very appreciative of that as well.
Ali was a toddler when her family fled the Somali capital Mogadishu in the early 1990s during the Civil War after her elder brother was killed by a mortar at the age of 12 while playing outside. When the family arrived in London as refugees, having lived in Nairobi in Kenya, Ali was picked on at school for being overweight. She went to the local gym and tried a boxer size class, but did not tell her family as she thought they would disapprove of the sport for a Muslim girl. She now hopes as a boxer, she can inspire a new generation of Somali women.
You're brought up from a young age in Somalia and you're sort of nurtured into just becoming someone's housewife. My mom, she was never allowed to go to school, so my mom's illiterate. And that's the reality for many girls in Somalia. So to know that I've inspired girls to take up the sport of boxing is definitely the type of change that I've always wanted to see, and it's great to be able to see it.
Ali keeps her gloves up and defensive when it comes to protecting her family.
Now that I have a bit of a profile, I'll be like a target. So, you know, even when I'm doing interviews, I purposely don't mention my parents by name. People put two and two together, you know, who's related to me, and just, you know, hold them for ransom and things like that.
She funded her amateur boxing career by modeling, and sometimes the two worlds didn't mix.
I don't know, countless times I've turned up to a shoot and I've had a black eye, and I've just been like, oh, guys, I'm really sorry. And, you know, I always request the same makeup artist because she just knows, and every time I turn up she'll be like, well, you know, you're giving me something to do at least, you know, you're making my job hard, but you're giving me something to do.
Ramla Ali won the British and English titles in 2016 and initially represented England before switching to Somalia in 2017. She also packed a punch to the September 2019 edition of British Vogue magazine as one of its 15 cover stars.
Stand up! Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to congratulate Shaka and the Straight Talk Africa team for celebrating the show's 20th anniversary this year. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African club football, Nigerian teams have had mixed results in the CAF Continental tournaments. Kano Pillars and Plateau United were knocked out in the first round of the CAF Confederation Cup and CAF Champions League, and Enyimba and Rivers United advanced to the second round of the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the Lagos-based African football analyst Toby Adepoju.
It is disappointing to see two Nigerian teams are not progressing from the first stage of preliminary round. It is really disappointing. I think it is expected, especially for Caterpillars. They have been terrible on the continent for a couple of years. Last year, they lost to a Ghanaian team who haven't played a league game in about 2 years. So, for Plateau United also, I think Abu Maikaba needs to grind it well. They need to find the momentum. Always finding it very difficult to get to the group stages at Aqua United and now at Plateau United. For Plateau United as well, the history on the continent is a bit terrible for them. The last time was against Etoyi, which they failed just one goal. Just one goal in Kano, which they failed to score, and they got set back in away from the tournament. So it is really, really sad to see two teams, not progressing just at these stages. And it is obvious that the MPFA teams can't just compete at the IX level. We are losing to Tanzanian team. We are losing to teams from Senegal. We are feeling very difficult to beat team for Burkina Faso. Difficult against an Equatorial Guinean team. So, you put all this together and then you want to agree that, the clubs are really not getting things right in terms of maybe players, in terms of quality, in terms of management. Coaching as well can be questionable as well. So, it is just really an unacceptable performance from the team, especially Caterpillars. With a foreign manager, I was expecting they can do better. They could put up a good performance, but it was the same story. And for Plateau United, they lost it at home when you created 14, almost 14 scoring chances at home and you failed to convert. And so, you will surely pay for it. Unfortunately, they had the issue with COVID-19, which looks like a bit controversial and a distraction for them in the second leg. But, they have the opportunity at home to win and they fail to do it.
Do you think the non-commencement of the Nigeria Professional Football League for the 2020-2021 season is affecting performances of clubs in the continent?
Yeah, to some extent, I agree to the fact that the league being on break for since March has really affected the teams. They've not really played competitive games since March. They just resumed nearly 2-3 months ago, and then what the teams have done is just to have pieces of games with academies, non-league side, then maybe some MPFA teams who obviously provided trialists in some preseason tournament. But it's something we should be worried about. If you don't play competitive games in the match, it's really a bit difficult to compete with most of the teams who have their league running. For Tanzania, they've got their league back, fans were inside the stadium. For Ghana, they have been playing, I think they have been playing in Senegal as well, Burkina Faso, so to speak. So it is part of it, but look at a lot of references as well, and you could say the league not commencing is not a major problem. The major problem is more from the structural problem of the football teams, more of quality players, or the way our players turn up on the continent very poor, the way the coaches set up, not knowing much about the opponent, how much the management really puts in it. Because you look at a team like Al Ahly, the league was on break because of crisis in Egypt for like 2 years, and they won the Champions League back to back. I'm starting to be corrected, but I know they won the Champions League in between those years. Like I mentioned earlier, Kotoko last year, the league was on break for 2 years, and they knocked out Caterpillars, and Caterpillars played close to like 60 games in those the space of 2 years. So if you look at other references about some clubs, about some countries who doesn't have the league and they get on the continent, what is the Equatorial Guinea? What are they doing that Rivers United even struggle to knock them out? So it is not all about the commencement of the league. It is part of it. Maybe the league could have given them more competitiveness, but however, if you're playing on the continent, you need to find a good funding, you need to find a good preseason tournament, you need to leave your country, you need to go as much as nobody country to get quality games. You set up your squad as quick as possible. You move out to Ghana, you move out to South Africa, you move out to decent countries where you can get decent games for preparation. You don't have to bank on playing games with an academy for you to prepare for the continent. So, I don't think commercial of the league is the major thing that really affected them. It's more of the poor structure we have with the club side.
What should the two remaining clubs, Rivers United and Enyimba International, Ghana playing continental championships do to avoid being knocked out?
Honestly, preparing for anything like this is very tight because they don't have much days to prepare. What they can do is to continue training to keep the team in shape, get some few test games to keep the momentum of the team, to keep the team shape, because we're not even sure if the MPFL will resume before the game on 3rd week of December and the 1st week of January. So, I mean, the remaining two clubs are need to focus. I mean, they need to work more on their opponents. They need to know much about their opponents tactically, technically, everything. They need to put it into their training. I mean, they have to find a way to stop them. I think Imba is against a very big order from Sudan. Sudan is already a difficult ground to go through, but I mean, Emerick, Imba has got a lot of experience, maybe to pass this also, but it's not going to be easy. But we're only banking on Imba experience, but they have to do more. They have to push more. They have to know much about their opponents. They have to travel early. They have to keep their team in good shape. They have to get on a few games, and then concentration must be high. For Rivers United, South African side, maybe except Sundowns, don't have that history against the Nigerian team. So even Sundowns lost to Enyimba International in Port Harcourt, yes, you can say the game doesn't really count, but they lost. And the last time, Enyimba knocked down another South African team. So the African team don't have that big history against the Nigerian team. But I'm scared of Rivers United, you know. Are they ready? Can they do it against a well-organization or a well-organized team like the Celtics side they will be facing in South Africa? So it's really a tough order for both teams. They need to work hard. They need to really prepare. They need to fight. They need to fight. They need to put a lot of energy into this. And I just hope all two of them will progress. Just hope they can progress, but it's really going to be tough for them.
That's African football analyst Toby Adepoju. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, 22-year-old American Sophia Kenin has been named the WTA Player of the Year after winning her first major title at the Australian Open in January and finishing runner-up at the French Open in October. Kenin also ended the coronavirus-shortened season with a career-best ranking of number 4. In the Australian Open final, Kenin dropped the first set to Spain's Garbiñe Muguruza 6-4, but she rallied to win the next two sets 6-2 and 6-2 to lift her first Grand Slam trophy.
I knew I had to take my chance. I had to be brave by playing two-time Grand Slam champion, and all respect to her. She played a really tough match, and every point was such a battle, and a lot of moving, a lot of emotions on court from both sides, and yeah, I knew I needed to come up with the best shot, and 5 best shots of my life. I mean, let's go. It got me to win a Grand Slam. All right, I'll take it. I had to play some best tennis, and I did, and it was after that I was on fire, and I was ready to take a beautiful trophy.
In other year-end honors based on voting by international media, U.S. Open finalist Victoria Azarenka of Belarus was named the Comeback Player of the Year, and French Open champion Iga Świątek of Poland was named the most improved player in the Women's Tennis Association.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In National Football League action Tuesday night, the Baltimore Ravens scored a 17-point victory against the visiting Dallas Cowboys. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Ravens have halted a three-game skid by racking up 294 yards rushing and a win over the Cowboys, 34-17. Lamar Jackson ran for 94 yards and a touchdown, while also throwing for two scores in his first game since coming off the COVID-19 reserve list.
I still can't really taste the smell, but I'm good. And I don't like, you know, that's just a fact that comes, you know, but I guess my sense of taste and smell gonna come back sooner or later, but I'm good now. Like, I won't wish that on nobody, though.
Gus Edwards ran for 101 yards on just seven carries, and rookie J.K. Dobbins added 71 yards rushing and a TD. Greg Zuerlein missed three field goal tries, and Dallas yielded 20 straight points after taking an early 10-7 lead. I'm Dave Ferry.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. And this fun VOA fact about Music Time in Africa, it's the Voice of America's longest-running English language program. The show was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Nigeria marked its 60th anniversary of independence earlier this year. As part of the celebrations, 60 sports icons were announced, and one of them was this Paralympic powerlifter.
My name is Ejike Lucy Ogechukwu, a 5-times Paralympian, the current world record holder in para powerlifting. I feel so great for being recognized as one of the Nigerian sports icons in the past 60 years. When they called me to come and receive award in Abuja, when I entered the hall and saw my picture and my name among the 60 Nigerian heroes since 1960, I felt so great. I was so happy. Tears of joy came out of my eyes. I was very happy to receive the award. This award will make me to achieve more results for the Parapowerlifting Federation of Nigeria, because it is a kind of motivation to me. It is telling me that people are watching what I am doing and they are appreciating me. This will make me now to put more effort and work harder to make sure that I achieve more goals in my career.
That's Nigeria's record-breaking Paralympic powerlifter, Lucy Ejike. Meanwhile, the International Olympic Committee president has outlined new rules and protective measures ahead of next year's Tokyo Games in Japan. VOA's Gwen Uten has the details. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. This week, Britain became the first nation in the world to administer a fully tested coronavirus vaccine and kicked off an immunization campaign against the global pandemic. And as the world looks on to see how the vaccine takes effect, Olympic organizers and the IOC are growing more confident that they too will have a vaccine in time for next year's Tokyo Games. On Monday, IOC President Thomas Bach held an online press conference from Switzerland and said that while it would not be mandatory for Olympic athletes to receive the vaccine, they'll be strongly encouraged to do so.
To the athletes who do not want to be vaccinated, there is, first of all, the clear message. There will be no obligation to get vaccinated. At the same time, there is my clear appeal to these athletes to take also their fellow athletes into consideration and to take the Olympic Games as such into consideration. So it's not only about themselves, it's also about the solidarity with their fellow athletes. And it's about to contribute to the safe conditions which we will offer during this postponed Olympic Games Tokyo 2020.
Bach outlined several measures that would provide further protection for athletes at next year's games. Along with social distancing, masks, and venue bubbles, the IOC is urging the National Olympic Committee to shorten travel schedules so athletes don't arrive in Tokyo too early or stay too late. And Bach said he will place a limit on how long athletes are allowed to stay at the Olympic Village.
The guideline says that the NOCs should adapt their arrival and departure policies to ensure that athletes can arrive at the Olympic Village 5 days prior to the start of their competition and depart a maximum of 2 days after their completion of competition. This, of course, also applies to the sport-specific officials per NOC, not only to the athletes.
Bach has confirmed over 11,000 athletes will compete in Tokyo, but the Olympic kickoff will look a little smaller next year. 206 countries will be represented in the opening ceremony, but athletes scheduled to compete in the second week of the games will not be allowed to attend, and those arriving early will have to miss the ceremony at the close of the games. Bach also looked ahead to the Paris Olympics and announced that for the first time in history, breakdancing will make its debut in 2024. Paris proposed the street dance to the Olympic Committee because of its popularity in the host city and its appeal to a younger audience. It was created in the United States by pioneers of hip-hop in the 1970s, and it will be referred to by its original name, Breaking in Paris. Bach also announced that in 2024, the Paris Olympics will feature a historic balance in gender equality.
We will see exactly 50% male and female participation. Following on from the gender equality already achieved for Tokyo 2020, which will have about 49% female participation, but with Paris we are doing the last step to full gender equality with 50% male and 50% female athletes participate. And this is for the first time in Olympic history that we will reach this full gender equality.
Mixed gender events will also increase from 18 to 22 at the Paris Games. Bach is expected to run unopposed for a second term next year and is set to remain in office until 2025. And according to the IOC, gender equality and a refreshed program will be two of the top priorities for the Paris Olympics in 2024 and the Los Angeles Games in 2028. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Paul Tergat inspired fellow Kenyan Kibuwat Kandi to his recent half marathon world record in Valencia, Spain. Kandi clocked 57 minutes and 32 seconds in Valencia on Sunday. Kandi says he knows Paul Tergat very well, and growing up, he used to hear everyone saying, Paul Tergat, world records. Follow in the footsteps of Paul Tergat, Kibuwat Kandi. And that wraps up the December 9th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.